When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Too close for comfort. Sacramento ends the game on a 7-0 run, and they somehow win this game. I say somehow. I don't know how they beat the worst team in the Western Conference tonight. I really don't. And I'm going to start off with a negative here because I don't know if I've seen this. In the last 24 hours, the Kings are 2-0. All right? Mm-hmm. They've been outscored in 6 of 8 quarters in the last two games. But they won both the games because last night they outscored the Lakers 44-20 in the second. And tonight they outscored the Spurs 41-28 in the second. Other than that, they lost every quarter tonight and last night. How about that?
It's incredible. We asked last night, Grant, how the Kings or how the Lakers hung around, right? They won 3 of the 4 quarters. And tonight it's the same thing. But San Antonio, Vassell comes in here for a third time, the first two meetings, 29-32, and he dominates again tonight. I don't know what the next 20, 21 games are going to look like, but you put that effort up, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Listen, I don't want to be negative over a win, but I don't have a lot of positives to say about this game tonight. I really don't. And I don't care whether you played last night or not. I really don't. The assist to turnover ratio in the second half was terrible, you know, and the fact that the Kings were down 7 points, they were down 129-124 with 50 plus seconds left and got a gift and win the game. I don't really have a lot of positives other than it's a win.
Yeah, it's a win. I think one positive that we come away with, I think maybe Mike Brown's rotation has solidified a little bit. What that means minute-wise going forward, we'll see. But other than that, Grant, I mean, Malik Monk shows up again. Sabonis shows up again. Nobody gets hurt. And they win a back-to-back. So
I'll tell you, did not show up. Keegan Murray didn't show up. Kevin Herter didn't show up. They didn't do anything in this game. They were invisible.
No. And there's no reason for it. That's what I'm looking at. Who on the San Antonio Spurs game plan to take Kevin Herter out of the game? I probably don't think anybody. And it's just really difficult because no matter what, when this team plays bad or well, they just can't have everybody involved.
Yeah. So. You're spot on. All right. Before we get to calls, before we get to your messages, I want to once again say thank you very much to all of you that joined us last night in the postgame show. We had a total of over 25,000. So we greatly appreciate your support. And we appreciate the support of our sponsors, such as Calusa Sunrise from Blazona Development. And Sunrise Landing is great for you to check out. 6 models to choose from. Phase 1 is already sold out. There's no Melrose. There's no homeowners. So go to CalusaSunrise.com, check out Sunrise Landing from Blazona Development, and I think you're going to really love it in Calusa. And again, we appreciate our sponsors. We appreciate you and everyone that makes it possible to do this show every night. Kings somehow, and again, I say somehow, win this game 131-129. It's an ugly win. You'll take it because this would have surpassed Detroit, right, as the worst loss of the year? And Miami, I still think Miami was horrible, but you and I disagree on that. But we can at least agree it was a bad loss. Tonight would have been the worst, right?
Yeah, it would have been the worst. Grant, think about this. Even though on paper it doesn't show it, the San Antonio Spurs technically outplayed. I'm not going to say won. Outplayed the Kings this season thus far in their season series.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Thoroughly. They
did. Great point.
So, hey, we want to open it up to you. Go ahead and hit the pinned comment in the chat, or you can scan the QR code over Grant's shoulder. We're going to start the calls off tonight with Dirk. Welcome into the show, Dirk.
Hey, guys. Still catching my breath on that one, but whew, Grant, positives. Sabonis feasted. He did exactly what he needed to do. He came up big late. Keon Ellis showed a little offensive side there. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, 11 points.
One of my talking points. Kevin Huerter was invisible. He did have two steals, but otherwise gave you nothing. As you know, Keegan really had a nothing game here too. He was very. I agree. He was invisible. If you were to bet, would you say the Spurs are a play-in team next year?
I'm not ready to go there just yet.
Yeah,
I'm going to say they're 1 year away from that. So I'm going to say no, but the following year, I think they'll be knocking on the door next year, you know, without knowing who's going to be in the West and free agency and injuries. I think they'll be knocking on the door. But when I look at the strength of the West and I'm trying to project next year, I'm still going to say no.
Yeah, a friend at work bet me that they would be because they're about a point guard away. His impression, I was saying, well, the Grizzlies maybe, what are they going to be next year? You know, so they got to top too many people. But
yeah,
I'm just happy we got out of this one. I'll call it a night with you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Grant, let me ask you a question. When I say the word pride, does that word ring true in any form with this team and their work ethic and their body of work this season?
It's too schizophrenic to me. You know, it's too schizophrenic to me. I don't know what to make of this team. I'm just, every time you think they take a step forward, they take a step back. And listen, I know they won the game tonight, but yeah, this was horrible tonight. All right. And now you got Houston who's kicked your ass twice. Although you have Fox, then you have Milwaukee. Then you have a home game against the Lakers, the Knicks, and Memphis. If you're just, and again, I get in trouble every time I say this, right?
Yeah.
I said you should have won against Chicago. These are the games that I said you absolutely have to win here, all right? The games that you actually had to win on this homestand were Chicago, San Antonio, Houston, and Memphis. I was putting Milwaukee, the Lakers, and the Knicks as toss-up games. But based on what I'm seeing with this team, losing to Charlotte, losing to Detroit, losing to a banged-up Miami team and suspended, barely beating a bad Spurs team. Why would I think that the Kings are going to be able to beat Houston or Memphis? Why would I think they're going to be able to beat Memphis? I mean, Memphis plays hard every night.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't, Grant. And here's the thing. Both of those teams are going to try to go a little bit small, right? And the Kings think their specialty is playing small, yet tonight, they could have played small all they wanted, and it was a mess against the Spurs without their star. So I really worry about them with the Houston Rockets. You get another bad loss there. I don't know. You roll in and see the Bucks after that. It's going to be a tough stretch for them, Grant.
Yeah, well, again, you get the win, and you stay right where you were when the night started. And I should also point out, not only did, you know, Dallas win and Phoenix win, but the Warriors were upset at home tonight by the team that beat the Kings a couple nights ago. The Bulls beat the Warriors 125 to 122. That's a bad loss for Golden State. Very bad loss.
That is. But if you are Sacramento, you will certainly take that. This Western Conference has been nuts. Oh, I can't imagine what it's going to be like come the end of 82. We're going back to the phones. We bring in Zach. Zach, you're not crying yet, right? You're good?
No. I was about to, though. It was very, very close, as you guys saw. I was going to have a lot of tears, but thankfully they pulled out with a win. Not super happy with it, but, you know, we'll take it. Keon Ellis, I mean, what can I say? I love this guy. Plus 15 in the, if you look at the plus minus, absolutely incredible. And I know I've been taking a lot of shots at Davion. He has been playing well. I don't want to go, you know, through it again, but, you know, he's been playing well. I got to give the guy props for making his shots. So I love that he's playing better. And I kind of like when Davion and Keon are at in the same time. We get to see a lot of more defense. And Herter's been absolutely just awful. So it's nice that, you know, Davion and Keon are taking the slack a little bit. And Fox, man, his shooting was just rough today. I mean, he was taking a lot of shots, couldn't make anything. Our three-point defense, as usual, just terrible stuff. Terrible. But, yeah, I mean, it was a crazy game at the end. I can't believe we won because I thought it was over when Fox got fouled out.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And, you know, Keon Ellis has been earning minutes. There's no question about that. You've been on him. And, yeah, he's been playing well. And Ryan and I were talking before we came on. Ryan wouldn't be surprised if we see him in the starting lineup here.
Yeah, Zach, I think it's time. I think you've established that Mike Brown is comfortable turning to Chris Duarte when Chris is healthy and everything's good to go. Deion's playing hot. If there's going to be a time, this is the time. Keon's the guy you put in the starting lineup.
I'm definitely down to try it. Would love to see how it works out. Also for Ryan, early.
We lose you, Zach?
I think we lost that. We okay, will try.
You're calling out. Oh, I don't know if you remember that.
Zach, you're cutting. Like, you're cutting in and out. So we're going to let you go. Well, we always appreciate your feedback, but you keep cutting in and out. So we'll say thank you very much. We talk about this win tonight, 131 to 129. The Kings somehow win the game despite losing three of the four quarters to the Spurs tonight.
And as you said at the top, that makes 6 of 8 quarters in the last two nights for the Sacramento Kings.
Yep, they've lost. The only quarters that they won in the last 24 hours was the second quarter last night and the second quarter tonight. It's unbelievable. But, hey, it goes in as a W last night and a W tonight. But to me, it doesn't – last night I thought they played well. I have no issues with last night. I like what I saw last night. I thought they played very well last night. I don't really have anything positive to say about tonight. I really don't. I don't. Other than the fact that they won, and that's what you have to do at this time of the year. You only have 20 games left now, so you can't be messing around.
I think you have to, and I agree on the whole. Yeah, there's not a lot of positive, but you do have to point to Malik Monk. It seems like when this team gets in that spot, they take on his personality at times. And normally, Grant, we would say, oh my gosh, no De'Aaron Fox? He's fouled out. What are the Kings going to do for 2 minutes? Kings pull it off, even though it was a long shot.
Yep.
So you know who will take it? Our dude Connor in the 209. Connor, throw the hands up, buddy. How you doing tonight?
I will take it, Ryan. I will take a W. But like I've said, last 2 years, I've seen this, you know, bad Spurs team give this team trouble. I've seen it live. I've seen it on TV. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I just see what I see. And I'm pulling my hair out each time. I'm literally just this every time we play the Spurs. And I got a lot of hair to pull.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, thank goodness they got by this, and now you have a couple days off to get regrouped and get ready for Houston. Then the Lakers come in, then the Knicks, then Memphis before you hit the road for three games. And then I keep on talking about that. The end of that road trip is where the schedule really gets tough, all right? At Orlando, Philly at home, Dallas at home, Utah at home, the Clippers at home, at the Knicks, at the Celtics, at the Nets, at the Thunder, home New Orleans, home Phoenix, home Portland. That is a brutal, brutal stretch.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier. But, I guess one part of the schedule does get easier. Well, not entirely for us, but Karl-Anthony Towns with that meniscus tear is going to be out for a little bit. So that first seed might be up for grabs. But I don't think we're going to get it just with how far
behind chance. We are. There's no chance the Kings are getting it.
But, might be Denver just beat Boston just now. So maybe Denver or Oklahoma City might grab that. Could play into a different matchup.
The highest seed that the Kings are going to be in all likelihood would be sixth. I mean, could they be fifth? They could. But I'm just trying to project the schedule and everything else. And then six plays three. So, I mean, as long as you're 5 or 6, that's fine. Just don't be 7 or 8. If you're 7 or 8, I still would not want a scenario where you have to beat the Warriors in a 48-minute winner-take-all game. That's not a recipe for success.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of playing the Warriors in the play-in. Now, if we play the Lakers, I'm a huge fan of that one, but that just depends. Because I think the 10 teams are set. It's just
the matter
of the final seeding. I don't.
And I'm with you. I'm with you on the Lakers. I changed my opinion on that. The Lakers just don't match up with the Kings. The Kings are very comfortable on the court playing the Lakers. Very comfortable.
Yeah, Fox and Sabonis, they love giving it to the Lakers, which is great for Sac. Great for us. You know, that's what we need. Because honestly, I would take, you know, a lot of losses against other teams. But if we beat the Lakers, I'll take that bragging rights.
Thank you, buddy.
Sometimes it's as simple as that. Grant, we got a ton of people that want to talk to us.
Love it.
I feel special.
Love it. Love it.
Let's keep it going. We're bringing Chang in. Chang, welcome back to the show tonight.
Hey, Grant Ryan. I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about both your opinions on this. Because again, I still don't know what to think about these Kings, but I guess imagine the scenario. So what if, you know, we win all these easy games, but then, you know, counter that where we have these losses against the Wolves and Denver, would your feelings about this team be the same? So, you know, same record, but we just reverse the, you know, bad losses to winning those. But the thing is, you know, we lost to like the Wolves and to Denver. Would you still feel the same? Or I can clarify the question if you mean
clarify it.
So, you know, how we had some good wins against the T-Wolves and, you know, against Denver Nuggets, but then we had
Denver Nuggets weren't healthy in any of the games until the Kings beat them in the last game. So I put a big asterisk next to that. They didn't have Jamal Murray for 2 of the 3 games. That's huge.
I mean, I would say, like, for example, like OKC, you know, like us winning against OKC or stuff like that, where, you know, we tend to have a decent record against, you know, I would say the top tier teams and, you know, the Western Conference, where I think I've been looking at where, you know, I think we tend to play better against better competition, but then, you know, we kind of don't, you know, play well against these, I would say, lower competition teams. So I was wondering, would your feelings be the same about this team if for some reason, you know, like in another scenario, you know, we won against Detroit, but then lost against OKC, we won against Portland, but then lost to T-Wolves. So, you know, we're same record, but we're having these, I would say, more consistent wins, but we're not beating against, you know, we're not having these quality wins against these good teams.
It gives me more confidence that if the Kings make the playoffs, they are going to be able to compete based on what you just said. They have shown that against the upper echelon teams that they can be competitive, with the exception of maybe Boston, which a lot of teams aren't competitive against Boston. But other than that, even Milwaukee, you know, they took them to overtime. So, yes, I understand the point you're trying to make. That does bode well for the schedule that I just read off and the play-in and or playoffs. Yes, I think that's a very good point, and I would agree with that. If you and I are on the same page, yes, I feel more confident with the teams playing against a good team than a bad team. And they're going to be playing good teams if they make the playoffs. So, yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And Chang, I think, and I kind of took the question a little bit differently. I understand how Grant took it. But anytime that you have a team that is, if they have the exact same record they have today, but they played more consistency against good teams and lost, I'm taking that all day, because this team has this fan base hanging on a cliff right now, because they really are the definition of, if they get a ticket to the dance, they could really make some damn noise. Because the Kings, Grant and I think why we get so mad, the Kings aren't this far away. They're about this far away from being a pretty damn good team this year. And it's really simple things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I want to tell you about New Works Plumbing. They've got a fix for you, and they're available around the clock 24/7 for all of your plumbing needs and repairs. Just go to sacserviceplumbing.com or call the number on your screen. New Works Plumbing, they've got a fix for you. Kings somehow win this game tonight, 131 to 129, and keep pace with the teams in front of them, New Orleans and Phoenix.
Yes, indeed. Chang, quick question for you. We'll give you a quick answer. Give us a couple word answer, because we're going to get to some other people that are calling, which we love to, but what do the Kings need to do in the next five games if you think they're going to make the sixth seed?
I'll say this. I think a lot of the callers have been talking about this. I think stay with that. I'm going to have, you know, I think I love Kevin Huerter, but I think we're going to have to see more Keon and, you know, Davion. I think I like Keon and Davion because I think they can play the style Mike Brown wants, which is pace and physicality. And, you know, I just think that we saw those quarters where, again, I think you and Grant mentioned it, and we lost a lot of these quarters. We've been only winning, you know, two quarters of these past two games. And it tends to be when we have that, you know, lineup with De'Aaron and Malik with Keon. And so I think if we kind of stick with that, I think we'll do well. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Chang, we appreciate the call so much. You always make us think and make it better indeed.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Excellent call as always, Napes.
Okay, so you mentioned the next five games.
Mm-hmm.
I already said that Houston's got to be a win. Memphis has to be a win. Okay, so let's just say that those two are going to be wins. Even we're doing this for sake of conversation. All right, I understand you can't chalk up a win for this team against anyone. But assuming that you beat Houston and Memphis, then the other three games on this homestand are Milwaukee, the Lakers, who don't appear to be able to beat you, and the Knicks. And the deal with the Knicks is you don't know who's going to be on the court and who's not. They've had a rash of injuries, but they're still good. And by then, you don't know what their lineup is going to look like on the 16th of March. So to me, Milwaukee at home, toss-up game. I got to give a slight edge to Milwaukee. I give an edge to the Kings at home against the Lakers. And I can't really tell you what I give against the Knicks because – to me, my opinion, if the Knicks are healthy, they're better than Sacramento because of matchups. That's if they're healthy. But I don't know what their lineup's going to look like when we get to that point.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Lakers game scares me, Grant, because it's not just because of tonight and the Spurs coming in and giving the Kings problems. It's because that's a rivalry game. The Lakers fans show up, you know, and it's going to be a festive atmosphere. And quite frankly, the Kings don't play well in home festive atmospheres.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. We really appreciate so many of you being with us. We're talking about the Kings' come-from-behind victory. Boy, it didn't look good with under a minute left when you're down by, what, five. And thank goodness for, you know, Malik Monk making a big shot, Sabonis with the steal. I mean, the Kings pulled one out of the hat tonight. They pulled one out of the hat.
Yes, they did. They've been known for that the last – remember how many games they pulled out of the hat last year? We're like, how did that happen? So this team luck, their luck continues. We touched out on in the half. Karl Anthony Towns reportedly out indefinitely for Minnesota with a meniscus injury to his knee. So that changes everything for them. We're going back to you, Andrew. It's been a while. How you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Can you hear me all right? Yeah.
Yep. Hear you good.
Well, you know, first off, I really wanted to say, as a Kings fan for many years, Grant, the interview with Scott Pollard was absolutely amazing. It felt like one of those ESPN 30 for 30 type things, which is kind of just transcends sports. You know, really, really just put life into perspective for me and for, I hope, for a lot of people.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you truly, truly want to, if you're into that sort of stuff, man, that interview is absolutely incredible.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Yeah. As it pertains to tonight, you know, you've been saying it all freaking year, Grant. It's a Jekyll and Hyde team. You really can't buy into any wins too much, and you really can't buy into any losses too much. And so it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, like we squeaked away with a freaking great win, but it just seems to me like this team, we don't, like, you know, Rhino, you just said it a few minutes ago. It's like, yeah, we couldn't be dangerous in the playoffs. We can be very dangerous. Of course we can. We could also get bounced in the play-in tournament like that. Yeah. It's just like one of those things where Who freaking knows? Who freaking knows? And that kind of adds to the excitement of this team almost. It's like, you know, it's fun. It's fun.
Well, Andrew, we appreciate you taking the time to call the show. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank you, Andrew. It is kind of the best reality show going right now on TV. It is the slow.
Never, ever know. I'll tell you, if you're gambling on these games, boy, oh boy, it's got to be taking years off your life, huh?
If you're gambling on these games, 1-800-GAMBLER now. You are chasing if you have placed a bet on the Kings this year. Stop betting now, please.
All right, I got some stats for you. You ready for some stats?
Give them to me.
Okay. Gold Country Veterinarian Hospital in Auburn, serving the foothills as well. They pretty much do it all. We've talked about this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here's what happened yesterday, all right, with some of their unique cases. They removed fish from a dog's stomach. They performed a C-section. They diagnosed a 2-inch mass inside the right ventricle of the heart. They removed a large volume of ingested blanket from a dog's GI tract. They repaired extensive injuries from a bear attack. They repaired a cat that had the skin pulled off the side of her face, exposing the side of the eye globe. You get the point here, right?
An eye globe.
Gold Country Veterinarian Hospital. Yeah, they are awesome. They do it all. So keep them in mind. And I hope you don't need to take your pet to Gold Country Veterinary Hospital for any of those. And I know Dr. Griffiths is going, yes, Grant, I understand. I get you. But I'm really hoping that your pet doesn't have any of the issues of what I just read. But that's what that was yesterday at the Gold Country Veterinary Hospital. They are awesome.
I mean, I don't know what to say. It was a biology lesson and an educational thing. It's great. Oh, my God. It almost feels like you're making it up. Is Dr. Griffiths messing with us? I think they are.
I mean, you made a good point earlier. When they got the fish out of the dog, was the fish alive or dead? Or was it multiple fish? I didn't know if it was just one fish or a group of fish. I
fish your pets too.
Yeah. How about that, huh?
Wow. Absolutely insane.
Fish can be pets. They're not pets if the dog was swimming in a river and ingested a whole bunch of fish. I don't really know I don't really know what the actual background of that was. I don't know if like they have a fish tank and now that tank is depleted of fish. You know, I'm not really sure, okay?
And the dog is now in the doghouse.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Oh my gosh. Good stuff. Oh. Landon, what's up, Kings win? How you doing tonight?
Good. What a message delivery from Rand about the veterinary hospital. That was awesome.
It's right up there. It's right up there with Jerry's live reads for the winter summer or the winter jams. It's right
gosh.
Yeah, I love it. I don't have any pets, but I'm glad I know now. It's not the greatest win for the Kings, but I'll take it. And I've just had a question for you guys about the big man rotation, especially going into the playoffs. You're looking at Alex Len. I don't know how many minutes he played in this game, but I think Trey Lyles played pretty well. So just that rotation, do you think Trey Lyles will be playing more minutes in the playoffs? Are we going to see Alex Len, JaVale at all? JaVale's kind of an out.
Yeah, I don't think JaVale. I think JaVale's only on a as-needed basis, meaning that injuries in front of him. With 20 games left, I don't think you're going to be messing around with that.
Grant, I've thought a lot because we talked about it on Grant and Jerry. We've talked about it leading up to this. Who's going to be that emergency player for the Kings if Mike Brown needs somebody in the playoffs? I think if Alex Len keeps playing pretty well as he has been as of late, I think Alex is the first center off the bench and Trey Lyles becomes your second spark.
I think that could very well happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
How about you, Landon?
I love the way Alex Lynn plays. I mean, it's good, great to see, great rebounding and stuff like that. So yeah, that's all I have.
Here's what I will, in a quick summary, and thank you very much, Landon. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us. You've got 20 games left. You're now in seventh. And the reality is that every person that we're talking about, whether it's Alex Len, whether it's Keon, whether it's Davion, whether it's Keegan and Kevin or whatever, if this team is going to do anything in these final 20 games and elevate themselves to a top six position and, oh yeah, be very competitive in the postseason, everyone we're talking about needs to be consistent. It needs to play well. Mm-hmm. I know it might be a cliche, but with the standings the way they are, you just can't really look at what happened tonight. The Kings almost lost to the worst team in the NBA without their best player. And Keegan Murray and Kevin Huerter were invisible. Exactly. They didn't do anything. You can't
Grant.
Can't have it.
Spot on. You can't. They 3 points between the two of them.
Uh-huh.
You nailed it, Grant. Absolutely nailed it. So, hey, we are going to go international. Our man, Baki. Hey, no, Baki, no surprises tonight, please. No surprises.
No surprises at all. Hi, guys.
Hi.
What's
up?
I mean, what to say? I mean, some of the people just saying Grant is negative. I mean, how do you people can be positive after game like this? I mean, this is disgusting to see blowing up every single night 20 points lead. And I will say something about I don't know if it is tactics or whatever it is. I mean, we all know that NBA changed the pace and the game is quicker and there is too much 3-point shooting around, and you cannot stop the defense. You cannot stop the shooters from taking the shots. And you got 140, 150 points per game for the squad. But did you see they played great basketball in the paint and killing the Spurs in the paint, and we get that 20-point lead, and after that they just start to shoot those 3-point basketball, and I don't get it. I don't get that switch. Why that switch must happen every freaking night? I don't know why. I mean, okay, I said the basketball is different. It's faster, more 3-point shooting, but anyway, you get the games from the paint. That's my opinion.
Baki, you nailed it. That's probably one of your best calls you've ever made. You absolutely nailed it. The Kings coming into tonight, fourth in the NBA in two-point percentage, 25th in attempts. Tonight, they had over 70 in the paint, dominated. Great call. Great point.
Yep. One more thing. Defensively, you have San Antonio Spurs playing first half, trying to get in that paint area and trying to score, and after they blew it and after they can do nothing, they start to shoot threes and they start to shoot. I mean, it's for them, it's nothing pressure. They can shoot all over the night. So what we did nothing to stop it. So you have the worst 3-point shooting team in the league killing you two games already with threes. They scored how many threes? 19, 16.
Yeah.
Third game, too. Well, Baki, I don't remember
They can think about it. They can think about it. I mean, sometimes you're going to have the squad, which is great 3-point team, and they will kill you and go bye-bye.
I'm going to read an excerpt from a guy that, to me, is the best sports columnist in America.
Yes.
Phil Martinick from the New York Post.
Yes.
And I want to read this to illustrate what Baki's talking about. If when the NBA copied the ABA to create three-point shots. It knew that 50% of field goal attempts would regularly be three-point attempts. Would there even be a three-point shot? In three recent Knicks and Nets games, we watched games predicated on nothing better than trying to score from outer space. In a blowout loss to the Pelicans last Tuesday, the Knicks' 83 field goal attempts included 46 three-pointers. That's 55% of three-point shots. Then, in the Knicks' win over the Cavaliers on Sunday, Cleveland attempted 44 threes among their 87 field goal shots, 51%. Then, the Nets lost to the Grizzlies on Monday, shooting 42 threes, 51% among their 78 field goal shots. But if that's the NBA willing and certified evolution of basketball, I guess we're left to love it or leave it. This is the trend that we see on a nightly basis in the NBA. And it is a trend that continues to become more and more and more of a three-point shooting league. And Baki, Ryan, you guys bring up great points. And I'm just wondering, because of the heavy analytics that are involved in sports, and I can tell you in Sacramento, the analytics are beyond overboard, ridiculously so. It's unbelievable. And I just wonder if the edict from upstairs, from ownership and management to Mike Brown is, threes, because the numbers show that's how you win in this league. I'm just wondering. I mean, how else do you explain it, guys?
Grant, you bring up a fabulous point, because Mike Brown is not known for having teams that shoot the three ball wonderfully, and he's not known for offensive teams. So spectacular point. And to what you were saying and what Phil's trying to illustrate, I would just ask both of you this question. Football hasn't moved the goal line away from the goal, right? Like, there's still the goal line. You're trying to get the ball across the goal. It's not going 100 yards back. So basketball is going away from the hoop, and you saw it tonight with the Kings. When they don't go to the hoop, they choke, and that's when basketball gets constipated across the league.
Good stuff, Baki.
For me, it's very interesting, because you have sometimes you get Sacramento Kings going into great rhythm for shooting threes, but sometimes you're gonna see finishing the possessions in after only 10 seconds with shooting the threes. I don't know why. I just don't know why. And that's some kind of psychology which I cannot explain.
Baki, you're awesome with your information. Yep. We really appreciate it. Enjoy your morning. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Hey, before we move on, Rhino, I want to talk about Bennett's, and what a great place to get there this weekend for your weekend brunch. They have the weekend prime rib. Prime seafood and steaks at Bennett's, three locations, Sacramento, Roseville, and the West Side Grill in Rockland. Just go to bennettsrestaurants.com. That's bennettsrestaurants.com. Make a reservation, check out the menu and more. 60 different types of wine available by the glass at Bennett's. bennettsrestaurants.com. Kings win in overtime, or not overtime, almost went to overtime, 131 to 129. They were down 129 to 124 and scored the game's last 7 points.
No doubt. They get a furious finish. That's what the Kings are known for. They pull them out in the end. So we're talking about the three and analytics. I want to ask you this, because we saw tonight Domas hit a pretty big three-pointer, and the three-point shot seems to be the obvious thing he needs to add to his game. Do you think it's possible?
Yeah, possible. Yes, it's possible. Likely, probably more unlikely than likely.
Just style of play, not enough shots. You just don't think it's a priority.
All of the above. What do you think?
All of the above. I don't know. It's a good question. And I know Doug Christie is his coach, or his one-on-one coach, who works him out and does the personal skill development a lot of the time. And I see where sometimes the fundamentals come through with Domas, but the shooting side, I don't. And if Domas had that three ball, I don't know how you would guard the Kings, Grant. And
But I want to stop you there for a minute. I like the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Fair.
There's nothing broken about Sabonis' game. He's dominating on a nightly basis. He leads the league in triple-doubles. He leads the league in double-doubles. He is a consistent player. Why would I want to take somebody that is doing what he does better than anyone else in the league and all of a sudden change him? Or you're not saying change him, but enhance. I mean, I don't want that process to take place if it affects what he does really, really well. So that would make a little bit nervous.
Hey, before we get to Taylor, hey, Grant, I have a reason why you would do that. Analytics.
Okay. Hey, before you get to that call, I want to read this. This is a great, great message. Monty is a Daryl Morey disciple who created the huge analytics team, and Morey still hasn't won shit. You know what? There's a lot of truth to that. And you have an owner in Vivek Ranadive. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. He believes that you can put a winning basketball team together on his laptop without talking to anybody. He believes that. And then you have a GM who did come from heavy duty analytics in Houston. There's a lot of truth to what you're saying. A lot of truth. Taylor, what do you have for us?
Hey, Grant Napier. Been seeing you guys a lot on TV. I just want to know, the Kings, great win tonight. What do you guys think about the three-point shooting tonight with the Warriors?
With the Warriors?
Or not the Warriors. I'm sorry, the Kings. I'm sorry. Oh. Different team.
Yeah.
Ryan, go ahead.
I thought it was fine. Nothing jumped out. Nothing was terrible, quite frankly. I know it was 31.3%, but I didn't think the three was really the big issue. I thought the times they took the three was the big issue, Taylor. What I about agree you?
With you. Yeah, because so Taylor, I've been watching the Kings for a long time.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was a really good game up until, you know, once we started overturning the ball a little bit. And then, but, you know, you guys are the professionals on this, so I wanted to know your opinion about, you know, the three-pointers and the Kings. And, you know, what do you guys think about the three-pointers and actually to the lineup that Mike Brown, you know, put in, the A's and B's?
Well, I do believe that the Kings do take too many threes at times, and I think they rely on it too much. But again, I don't want to contradict myself based on what I just read in the post and what we talk about and where the league is in terms of becoming a three-point shooting league. But, you know, there are other ways to score. You know, you don't have to just shoot threes all the time. And in this game tonight, the Kings were 10 of 32, which is not a good percentage. Okay, and they were lucky to win the game, quite frankly. They were lucky to win the game tonight, whereas the opponent tonight, they shot the ball very well from three. They were 16 of 34. You know, if I told you the three-point numbers before the game began, you'd probably say the Spurs won the game. You know?
Yeah, totally.
And then my last question was, what do you guys think the future games, what do you guys think about those and the lineups and the matchups?
Well, there's a lot of games left. You know, I mean, every game is going to be somewhat different based on your opponent.
Yeah, and I get that. I'm just saying that the next game and the next two, because we got some opponents coming up. You know, we are the seventh or eighth seed. So seven. I want to know your opinion about that.
Well, so you should beat Houston. Right, Ryan? You should beat Houston. You're going to have Fox. You're healthy. You should beat Houston.
You should be. Well, Grant, it's a 3 o'clock game.
I know, huh?
It's a 3 o'clock game.
Well, it's a 3 o'clock game for Houston too, is it not?
It is, but it's just Sacramento. 3 o'clock games this time of year usually don't turn out well. Just got to throw it out there.
All right.
Thank
Taylor,
you
thank you. Appreciate thank it. You. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, Taylor. I love the first-time callers, Napes.
I love it. It's great. Yeah. We have 10,000 people joining us tonight for this game. And it's so awesome that we're having five-digit post-game shows. So I wish I made five digits, in terms of pay on every show. I'd be very happy, but it's okay. I'll take the one digit for now. That's one digit's better than no digits, right?
Here's what I suggest, Dave. I suggest you sweeten them up and you take them home. It was a pleasure being with you tonight and all of you in your homes.
Oh my gosh. No, in all seriousness, and I know we mess around a lot here. I'm humbled, and I think I speak for Brian too, at the following that we've generated by doing this. And thank you, buddy, for giving me this platform. I say it over and over again, and I don't say it because I'm supposed to say it. I say it because I mean it. Your support over, particularly for me, the last 3 years has been unbelievable. And I will never forget it. But your support for this basketball team is unwavering. It's part of your life. It's almost like a religion. And I just love that. And that's why I've always said, I may not live in Sacramento anymore, but Sacramento lives inside me. Sacramento will always, always, always be my home. Always. That's never going to change. And the biggest reason why that's not going to change is because of you and your unwavering support and your love for this franchise. And for me personally, to be able to talk to Jerry Reynolds a couple of times a week puts me right back in the broadcast chair courtside when Jerry and I were able to bring you what we thought was excellent coverage. We were very proud of our coverage. We were proud to represent you and work for you. And now I'm doing it in a different way, in a different chair. But we still have that connection. I can't even really adequately describe my love, really, for you is unwavering. It's never going to change. And that's why I love doing these shows. So thank you very much. It means the world to me. All right, before we go, I want to talk about all of our sponsors. It means the world to me. And it's great to have Foster's and Paws back with us. And they are incredible for what they do. You know, we always talk about, you know, what, like, animals, right? And I talked about Gold Country Veterinarian Hospital. Well, Foster's and Paws, they are passionate animal advocates. And they work really hard to save lives. And they personally focus on those vulnerable dogs in shelters. They look at every family and every animal as individuals. They work with young people to teach them how to work with animals with respect that will have lifelong benefits. They're looking for adopters, donors, and fosters. Now, to learn more, just go to fostersandpaws.org/adopt. That's fostersandpaws.org/adopt. Thank you to them. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and most importantly, to you. You're freaking awesome. Awesome. Can't say anything other than that. You're awesome. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on If You Don't Like That. And just remember this. Oh, if you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball. Oh, boy. Good night.